हरे कृष्णा। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपगोविन्दाय नमो नमः। नमः पङ्कजनाभाय नमः पङ्कजमालिने। नमः पङ्कजनेत्राय नमस्ते पङ्कजाङ्गये। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 31, entitled The Gopis' Songs of Separation. Reading from Text 15. Atatiyat bhavam atikananam truti yugayate कुन्तलम् श्रीमुखं च ते जड उदीक्षतां पक्ष्मकृदृशाम्। Translation: when you go off to the forest during the day, a tiny fraction of a second becomes like a millennium for us because we cannot see you. And even when we can eagerly look upon your beautiful face, so lovely with its adornment of curly locks, our pleasure is hindered by our eyelids, which were fashioned by the foolish creator. Om Ajnanat Nirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanath Swaminiti Namine. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swaminiti Namine. Nama Acharya Padaya Nitai Krupa Pradayine Gaura Katha Dhamadaya Nagara Gramatarine. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Very grateful to Mother Shama Gauri and His Grace Pravin Govinda Prabhu for mercifully connecting me to all of you and giving me an opportunity.
Shama Gauri not able to hear.
Yeah. I think I'm connecting her back. I think she got disconnected.
Yes, please.
Yeah, Mataji, you are in.
Thank you very much. Okay, thank you very much, Prabhu. Sorry for that. Again, thank you, Praveen Govinda Prabhu, for connecting me back to all of you. So I was saying that greetings to all of you from the holy land of the most munificent incarnation, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Mayapur Dham. So greetings to all of you from there. And we are in continuation of the Sri Gopi Gita. And today we are reading from text 15. This is a very, very important verse where a lot of Guru Tattva, Gopi Gita, somehow I always feel when it is spoken in Hindi, it has its, true fulfillment, I feel. Because I've heard it so much from His Holiness Srila Radha Govinda Maharaj and His Holiness Srila Radha Raman Maharaj. I just feel that when I repeat their words exactly how they speak it, I feel that we can really, absorb in that same mode. However, Srila Prabhupada has transcendentalized the English language by using it. So therefore, we will continue to speak in English. But as I was saying, that this Gopi Gita, every verse has a very, very deep meaning, a very deep understanding by which we can understand that we can try to delve into the inner modes of the gopis. And this, concept, this secret has been revealed to us by our acharyas, our Vartaman Guru Vrindas. So we are really, really grateful to them for, doing all the research and giving it to us on a silver platter. So we just repeat their words and then we can derive the same benefit of, understanding the mood of the gopis as, in the proper way and as it is, so to speak. So here the gopis are continuing to glorify Krishna, of course. And at the same time, they're also in such a position. Srila Radha Raman Maharaj explains that the gopis are in such a platform that they can call Lord Brahma foolish. Jadaha. Jadaha, in the last line, the first word of the last line is Jada. Jada means foolish. And who is the one who is foolish? The one who is the creator, which is Lord Brahma. Who is Lord Brahma? So they are so carefully calling, Lord Brahma to be foolish. Because why? Because he has created the eyelids. And they are chastising Lord Brahma. They're calling him very, very foolish. That, some of us don't even realize, right? I mean, for us, blinking of the eye is like taking breath, isn't it? It's become like part of our lives. We don't even realize. We don't have to, remember to breathe. We breathe automatically. So even the blinking of our eye, it is actually something, it's become a part of our existence. We don't have to remember to even blink our eyes. And we don't even feel that whatever we are looking at, that the blinking of an eye is actually less than, a millennium of a second. It's so small. It's a truti. Truti, it is explained that it is a millionth part of a second. This truti, nimisha, all these are actually counterparts and, like parts of a second. A muhurta, it is called a muhurtam. One muhurtam is, it is a compilation of these nimishas. It's made up of nimishas. It's made up of trutis. So like this, truti, of course, in another Sanskrit word, it also means lack, like we are lacking in something means humme ye truti hai, in that context also. But Sanskrit is such a language that based on the context in which it is being used, it has different meanings. So the context in which this is being used, disciples of Srila Prabhupada, I think, have written here that this truti means it is about one part of 1700 of a second. So 1700th part of a second is one truti. So we can understand that that is the moment that we blink our eye for. It's for 1/1700 part of a second. And that also the gopis are feeling that it is an obstruction for them to actually see Krishna with, unblinking eyes. They want to actually relish the beauty of Krishna with unblinking eyes. And they are chastising the creator, Lord Brahma, that why did you create these eyelids that we have to blink so many times and our vision of seeing Krishna is being obstructed. So the gopis are continuing to say that when you go off to the forest, O Krishna, during the daytime, that atati yad bhavan ahani kananam. And when you leave from, Vrindavan, and when you go into the forest, each, moment, this 1700th part of a second, that becomes like a yuga. It becomes like an entire millennium in separation from you. So, kutila kuntalam shri mukham chate. And when you return from the forest, how do you look? You look as if, your face, your beautiful moon-like face is actually covered with beautiful locks of your soft blackish hair, and you're covered in dust, and this, beautiful feature of yours, when you come down, when the sun is about to set, the way you come, it is extremely beautiful. You are so gorgeous, O Krishna. And when we see you, that you are coming back from the forest, when we see you, we try to drink the nectar through our eyes. We try to drink the nectar of your beauty through our eyes. And we feel very bad at that time because the drinking of your beauty through the vision of our eyes gets obstructed because of our eyelids keeping on blinking. So this is what the gopis are saying. What kind of level of devotion they are at. It is unsurmountable. It is incomparable. It is incomprehensible. It's even very, very difficult to even understand the kind of love that the gopis have for Krishna. Now, the question may be asked that, the gopis have so much love for Krishna, but what about Krishna? Doesn't Krishna reciprocate at all with the gopis? We'll see, of course, towards the end of this chapter and the beginning of the next chapter, how Krishna says that he is always with the gopis. He's never left the association of the gopis, actually. He says that. But it's just that he was physically not visible. But at the same time, how does Krishna reciprocate with the love of the gopis? Krishna, when he returns from the forest every evening, Krishna also knows very, very well that the gopis are actually waiting. Some of them are waiting at their windows. Some of them are waiting at their courtyards. Some of them are waiting on the rooftops or the terraces of their homes to see Krishna. When will Krishna come back from the forest? They are all waiting for him. And Krishna, just to reciprocate with their love, do you know what he does? Krishna, he will run into the it is said that Krishna, every feature of Krishna is tribhanga, right? Krishna is teda. Teda means crooked. He's not, just like you see Lord Ram, he's always very straight. Lord Ram's arrow, it is also very straight. So Lord Ram, he is Maryada Purushottam, and then he sees you also. Whenever you take darshan of Lord Ram, he's got no, bending, no this, that in his form. He's just standing straight in attention. He's standing. So he's very straight. But Krishna is crooked. His form, his form is famously known as Tribhanga Lalita. That Krishna has the threefold bending form. He is bent in three parts of his body. He is not bent in only one part. He is bent in tribhanga. In three parts of his body, he is bent. In his neck, on his waist, and on his knees. He is bent on all three parts of his body. So he's having this beautiful Tribhanga Lalita Madana Mohan Rupa that he has. Even Krishna's weapon, the Sudarshan Chakra, it is round, it is, you know, twisted. Now, Krishna's Lakuti, you know, Lakuti is the one with which Krishna grazes the cow, the stick with which he herds the cows. Now, that stick, for every other cowherd boy, it's actually straight, but Krishna's is the only one that he has a crooked one. It is said that Krishna loves to bathe in the Jamuna. Even the Jamuna is very, very crooked. Krishna, he loves to roam in the you know, Vrindavan ki galiyon mein. Galiyon mein means in the streets of Vrindavan. And anybody who has been to Vrindavan can vouch this, that the streets of Vrindavan are also crooked. Tere mere raste. They are not straight. They're all very, very crooked. So whenever, whatever is there in connection to Krishna is, you know, mostly it is all tera. It's all crooked. Because Krishna himself is very, very crooked. And therefore, Krishna, what he would do is that he would actually go into these crooked lanes of Vrindavan while he would return from the forest. Krishna would run into these little lanes, little streets, and then he would go into the house of one of the gopis, and he would say, who would be sitting at the window, the gopi would be sitting at the window, because outside in the door, her mother-in-law would be sitting, who would not allow the gopi to go and see Krishna. So then Krishna would come near the window and say, "Hey gopi, hey my sakhi, have you seen my cow? Have you seen my dhavali? Did she come here? Have you seen her? You know, when I was coming back from the forest, I just lost dhavali. Have you seen dhavali?" Then the gopi would say, "No, Kanha, I have not seen your dhavali." So Krishna would be right there in front of her face for her to absorb the beauty of Krishna, for that sakhi to drink the nectar of Krishna's transcendental beauty. Krishna would come right in front of the gopi. And then after speaking to her like this, Krishna would say, "Okay, then you didn't see dhavali. Okay, I will go." Then Krishna would come into another gully, he would go into another lane, and then he would look up into the terrace and he would shout, "Hey my sakhi, have you seen my dear Shyamala? Have you seen Shyamala, my cow? My dear cow, have you seen her? You know, I was coming from the forest and I think I lost Shyamala." And then that gopi would shout down, "No, no, Kanha, I have not seen that. You know, Shyamala is not here." And then he would again go to a next gully. He would go to the next lane, and that particular gopi would be standing at the door. And that gopi would say, "Kanha, how come you're here?" He said, "Oh, you know what? I'm looking for my cow. Her name is Kali. Have you seen her?" He said, "No, Kanha, Kali didn't come here." He said, "Acha. She didn't come here. Okay, you know what? Looking for all these cows, I've gone very thirsty. Can you give me some chas or a little bit of water? Something you can give me." And that gopi would be so happy that Krishna is asking me for something and spending some time with me. So like this, every day in the evening, when Krishna would come back from the forest, he would go to some of these houses of these different gopis and give them personal time, personal darshan. But he would go near them and exchange transcendental loving reciprocation with them. That is Krishna. So how beautifully Krishna reciprocates with the devotees, it is impossible to comprehend. You know, many, many times we feel that why did Pitama Bhishma, he's a pure devotee of the Lord, of course, that, and he is also one of the 12 Mahajans. And although he is one of the 12 Mahajans, why did he side the, you know, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra? Why was he on the side of this, you know, unrighteous Duryodhana? Why did Pitama Bhishma not come to the side of Maharaj Yudhishthir, which was the side of Dharma? Why did Pitama Bhishma do that? One of the reasons why Pitama Bhishma did not come to the side of the Pandavas, Pitama Bhishma reveals in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the chapter entitled The Passing Away of Bhishma Dev, where Pitama Bhishma is giving the instructions to Maharaj Yudhishthir. Over there, Pitama Bhishma declares that one of the reasons why I did not come on the side, you know, there were many, many reasons that, you know, how Krishna uses his own devotees to also show us how to act and sometimes show us how not to act. So like this, there are many, many reasons. So one of the reasons that the reason why Pitama Bhishma didn't come, which was told by Pitama himself, he said that I wanted to enjoy the beauty of Krishna. He explains, Pitama Bhishma explains that, you know, the beauty of Krishna, he is so beautiful. You know, when Krishna was sitting on the chariot of Arjuna and he was, you know, controlling the five horses. He had the reins of the five horses in his hands. And then, you know, the hoof, you know, because of the hoof, you know, hoof of the horses, there was so much of dust that was actually first flowing into Krishna's body. So here, actually, this analogy was given yesterday by His Grace Lal Govinda Prabhu, who is giving katha here in Mayapur, and I had the opportunity of listening to him yesterday evening. And this particular analogy, Prabhuji was speaking in his class. And he said this, that, you know, he gave the analogy that how Krishna, when, you know, the dust from the hoof of the horses was coming onto Krishna's body, he was getting completely filled with that dust. And then the amount of, you know, mehnat, you know, the kind of struggle that Krishna was going through to control the horses under the scorching sun, Krishna was getting little sweaty from his transcendental body. There was, you know, like sweat coming. And Krishna is already tamal varana. Tamal varana means like the shade of the tamal tree. Tamal tree is black in color, Sham Varana. So Krishna's Varana was getting covered with the dust and the sweat was appearing like diamonds on the blackish forehead of Krishna. And then the locks of his hair was just like, you know, soft black cotton, so soft, so silky, and it was coming all over his face because the wind was blowing it in such a way that it was increasing the beauty of Krishna to its magnitude, you know, so much beauty of Krishna. So Pitama Bhishma is telling Arjuna that, my dear Arjuna, although Krishna was your chariot driver, but you were never able to enjoy this beauty of Krishna, which I was able to enjoy because I was on the other side. So I would see Krishna coming in this way towards me, trying to, you know, bring your chariot towards me. So I got the darshan of this beautiful, you know, enchanting form of Krishna, you know, just like how Krishna in his tamal varana, you know, his shama varana, he is wearing the pitambar, you know, yellow dhoti, and his black hair is coming on his face, you know, locks of hair coming on his face, and then his, you know, the droplet of sweat on his forehead is like the, like diamonds, you know, it's shining like diamonds. This beauty of Krishna and his lotus eyes are just, you know, like petals of lotus, and his eyes were really, really, you know, kind of reddish because Krishna was displaying some transcendental anger also. And, you know, and then his lips were like as soft as rose petals, like reddish like the rose petals. This beauty of Krishna, my dear Arjuna, you were not able to see. You were able to see only the back of Krishna because he was the chariot driver of yours. But I was able to get this beautiful darshan, Pitama Bhishma said. So this is the one of the reasons why Pitama Bhishma chose to be on the other side, so that he could see this beauty of Krishna, so that he could drink this transcendental beauty of Krishna. So this beauty of Krishna, the beauty of Krishna's lotus face, you know, it is aspired to be seen by many, 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 many devotees. And one of them, which I again would like to narrate, is in this same canto, 10th canto, chapter 23, entitled The Brahmana's Wives Blessed. This is text 23, I'd like to just read it a little briefly. And so we all know that how Krishna and Balaram were very, very hungry along with all the sakhas one fine day. There's a big katha to this, but I won't go into too much details. But the gist of it is that Krishna and Balaram and the sakhas were very hungry, and then Krishna and Balaram told the sakhas to first go to the brahmanas and to get some prasad from them. And the brahmana said, oh, no. Oh, we have to still do the yajna, we have to do the sacrifice, only then we're going to give. Nothing doing now. So then the sakhas came back empty-handed, and then Krishna said, okay, now you go back to the brahmana patnis, go to the dvija patnis, the wives of the brahmanas, and beg them. So then the sakhas went back and said, Maya, Kanha, and Balaram, they are in the forest, they are very, very hungry. Even we are very hungry. Can you give us some prasad? And, you know, they are the heart of a mother. Their hearts immediately melted, and they said, of course, Krishna and Balaram are hungry. Why not? Of course. They took everything that they could. They collected all that, and they are coming to see Krishna. So when they were coming to see Krishna, it is explained by Srila Shukadeva Goswami that what was the vision that Krishna manifested to the Dvija Patnis when they were coming with unalloyed, unmotivated, uninterrupted mode of devotional service towards Krishna. What was the way that Krishna gave his darshan? So that is what we will read here. Shyamam Hiranya Paridhim Vanamalya Baraha Dhatu Pravata Natavesha Manuvratam Se Vinyasta Hastam Mitarena Dhunanam Abjam Karnot Palalaka Kapola Mukhabjahasam. Translation. His complexion was dark blue and his garment golden, wearing a peacock feather, colored minerals, sprigs of flower buds, and a garland of forest flowers and leaves. He was dressed just like a dramatic dancer. He rested one hand upon the shoulder of a friend, and with the other he twirled a lotus. Lilies graced his ears, his hair hung down over his cheeks, and his lotus-like face was smiling. So this is the beauty of Krishna. This particular verse was actually recited by Srila Radharaman Maharaj when he was giving class during the Brajamandal Parikrama at one of the first stops when we were walking from Vrindavan towards Mathura. The first stop is a place called Bhatran Bihari Temple. And this temple is the place where actually the Dvija Patnis had come to feed Krishna, Balaram and the Sakhas. So here the Dvija Patnis had brought bhat or rice for Krishna and Balaram and the Sakhas. So here the deity is called as, Krishna is called as Bhatran Bihari, the one who is eating bhat or rice. So here in this temple, just a little farther away from this temple is the most famous ghat called as the Akrura ghat, where Akruji had the darshan of Krishna and Balaram, you know, both inside the Jamuna and outside the Jamuna. And this is the place where, you know, Brajendra Nandan Krishna stayed back and Dwarkadhish Krishna left for Mathura. Or Vasudev Krishna left for Mathura. So at this place, at this temple of Akrura Ghat, Srila Radharaman Maharaj is describing from this verse. And Maharaj said that Krishna's beauty is so amazing that just imagine that he was standing under a tamal tree and Krishna was not standing alone. Krishna had his left hand over the shoulder of one of the sakhas. He kept his shoulder sorry, his hand on one of the shoulder. He was standing, and his hand was on resting on the shoulder of one of the boyfriends of Krishna, one of the Sakhas. And with his right hand, Krishna was twirling a lotus flower. Twirling, you know, how we just keep making the lotus flower go round and round. So like this, Krishna's hand was moving in a circular motion. And then, what did the Dvijapatni see? That they saw that Krishna was wearing beautiful golden, you know, garments, beautiful, you know, pitambari dhoti he was wearing. He was wearing a peacock feather. And Krishna's lotus face was actually painted with different kinds of minerals. You know, minerals, it is explained in another book by the Goswamis that these minerals were found in the foothills of Govardhan. You know, in different rocks, there were different kinds of powders, different kinds of ashes that were found. And, you know, sometimes these boys, the Sakhas, they would, you know, just make powder with some stone, and they would, you know, just put it on, you know, design it on Krishna's lotus face and paint him with all these different kinds of colored minerals. And thus, Krishna's lotus face would appear so beautiful. And Krishna would be decorated always with Vaijayanti mala, which is, you know, made with forest flowers, tulasi leaves, and, you know, it has five different kinds of ingredients in the Vaijayanti garland. And thus, he appeared just like a beautiful dramatic dancer. And when he, how is the lotus face described? He's saying that lilies were gracing on top of his ears. So on either side of his ears, he had beautiful small, small lilies. And the lock of his hair, it hung down over his cheek. So there, his cheeks were actually, you know, his hair was in such a way that it had a little wave and it was touching his cheek. And his lotus-like face was always smiling. It was hasya, always smiling. So this is the beauty of Krishna, how beautifully the Dvijapatni saw and relished the beauty of Krishna, just like the way the gopis are explaining here, that they are really wanting to see Krishna with unblinking eyes. And thus they're cursing Lord Brahma that, why did you give us eyelids, O Lord Brahma? You are a foolish creator. You should not have kept eyelids. And to reciprocate with this incomparable kind of love of the Brajavadhus, Sri Krishna, he actually came with unblinking eyes as Lord Jagannath. So Lord Jagannath, if you notice, he does not have eyelids. So he is known as the Lord who does not blink. He has defied the laws of creation. Lord Jagannath, he actually, it is said that all the rituals that happen to a human being, all those rituals actually happen in the temple of Lord Jagannath. You know, like right from the birth of a person, to the, you know, like the death of a person. The way the rituals are done, it is just like how a normal human being's rituals are done. That is the way Lord Jagannath actually, you know, is. He does not sleep throughout the day. He actually takes rest. There's no fixed time for him to take rest. He'll sometimes sleep at 11:30 in the night, sometimes at 12:30 in the night. Sometimes he'll also sleep at 10:30 in the night. Then from the time that he sleeps, he gets up at around 6 o'clock in the morning, or he takes 6 hours rest, and then he wakes up. So there is no fixed time for anything that happens in Lord Jagannath's temple. And when this kind of thing happens, even at the time of the Navakalevara, which happens every 12 years, for Lord Jagannath, at that time it's like Jagannath gets a new body. So the Pandas, the Pujaris of Lord Jagannath, they actually mourn the death, you know, the so-called death of the previous deity. They mourn the death of Jagannath, you know, the passing away of Jagannath, and they welcome, you know, the new deity in that way. So these rituals, then after Snanyatra, how Jagannath gets sick, till Rath Yatra, Jagannath is actually sick. So no other deity, you know, ever gets sick. So Lord Jagannath is something very, very special. He actually, every activity of Lord Jagannath is just like the way a normal human being, you know, undergoes different rituals in their life. But the only thing, he defies the law of creation because Lord Jagannath does not have eyelids. It is because of this verse, because of this love that the gopis have for Krishna. Krishna is reciprocating with their love by accepting the form of Lord Jagannath. And he said that you wanted not to have eyelids. I will not have eyelids so that I can see all my loving devotees with unblinking eyes. That is Krishna. How merciful Lord Krishna is. How much Krishna loves us. We cannot comprehend that. You know, whatever little service we may be doing, but Krishna, his reciprocation, his love is much, much more. It is millions and millions of times more than what we can ever do for Krishna. So we are doing nothing for Krishna, how much Krishna is actually doing for us. And the same goes to speak of our spiritual masters. How much are we able to do for our spiritual master, for what the spiritual master has done for us? The spiritual master has assured that if we can, you know, stick to all the principles and follow everything that he has said, that he has assured us he will take us back home, back to Godhead. What mercy, what compassion, and how much opportunity we are getting to render service. It is simply the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Vargas. So what we are able to do for them is nothing what they are doing for us. So this is mercy. This is called as causeless mercy. How much Krishna loves us, we cannot even comprehend that. You know, just by this one word of the gopis, how Krishna himself manifested in the form of Lord Jagannath to reciprocate with the love of the gopis is incomprehensible. This is the mercy of Krishna. And that same Krishna, when he came as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the Shikshashtakam, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mood of the gopis, he has said something very similar to this particular verse. Mahaprabhu says, Yuga itam nimishena, chakshusha pravishayitam, shunya itam jagatarvam govinda virahena me. He's saying, Yuga itam nimishena. Nimishena means, again, it's a part, you know, it's, I'm not sure of the exact number. I'll have to Google it up. But if any of you want to check that out, you can check it out. But nimisha is also, you know, something like this. It's, you know, 1700 or, you know, even more than part of a second. Nimisha is, you know, that, you know, part of 1 second. So Mahaprabhu is saying, Yuga itam nimishena, that how much, you know, just like how the gopis are saying, truti yugayate tvama pashyatam, that your truti is like a yuga. And here Mahaprabhu is saying, nimisha is like yuga. So it's the same mood that Lord Chaitanya is manifesting, just like the gopis said, that without you, O Krishna, each moment, you know, even a part of a second is like millions and millions of yugas. So we are so fortunate that we have access to all this transcendental, you know, nectar, and it is only up to us to just relish it, drink it, and apply it in our own lives, and as much as possible, try to share this with everyone whom we come in touch with. Then that way we will be able to make some endeavor to try to say that, yes, we are also doing something to reciprocate with the transcendental love and mercy that we are receiving from Srila Prabhupada and the Guru Vargas. So with this, I will end here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. If there's any questions, comments, or reflections, we can take that now. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. This is Damodaran Das, very nectarian lecture, Mataji. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I just wanted to add, Nimisha is a time scale, Vedic time scale is mind-boggling, from the Kalpa, which is the day of Brahma, to the shortest time period. Nimisha is the time that one takes to blink the eyelid, and it is 1/17th of a second. That is the Nimisha.
That's right.
I just wanted to add.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that, children. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Really, really amazing class, Mataji. Very nice. And I did not know about Bhishma, they wanted to have darshan. That's why he went on. When we go to the temple and we before opening the curtain, we take the nice place where we can get the darshan nicely. So same way, it's like Bhishma Dev was standing in front of Krishna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Really amazing, Mataji. And Mataji, I have a question. At the beginning, you were mentioning about the Lakuti. Can you more about that?
Lakuti? Lakuti means the cow herding stick.
Okay. Is that
the stick?
Is that something special for Krishna?
Yeah, it is something that is there with Krishna. The deity especially holds it all the time. We keep the Lakuti with, you see any deity of Krishna, he has a stick.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
In one hand, we keep the flute, and the other hand, Krishna has that herding the cows for like a stick.
Yes.
So that is what is called a Lakuti.
Yes.
So Mataji, all the cowherd people, they carry that stick. It's a herding stick to keep the cows or the sheep in line or to guide them. But Krishna is in a wavy form, as Mataji said. It's curved. It's not straight. That is the difference.
Yes. Hare Krishna
Mataji, very very wonderful explanation class, the nectar. Hare Krishna, this is Komani Kidasi.
Hare Krishna, thank you Mataji, thank you.
Hare Krishna
Mataji, 100 pranam, all the Srila Prabhupada and Vedev. Gopinath ki jai ho, very wonderful class Mataji, so happy. Mataji, can you please sing Gopi Gita? Hari Bol.
Sure.
I know it's late for you to go to the Guru Puja, but...
No. I always wait for this opportunity that you will instruct me and I will follow your orders.
Please follow.
Thank you. No. I definitely will. Definitely. We'll just wait for any more questions. If there's no more questions, in the end, I will definitely sing.
Mataji, can
you wait? Is there any more questions?
Tape it. Mataji, can you wait for 2 minutes? I want to tape you singing this. So let me just get something to tape it, if you don't mind.
I couldn't hear what someone said just now. I couldn't hear that. The voice was very, very
Mataji,
broken.
Mataji, just wait for 1 minute. I just wanted to tape you singing it. So I just wanted to get something to tape you, if you don't mind.
Okay. Yeah, sure, Radish, sure. So is there any more questions?
Oh, Mataji, Hare Krishna, this is Rajeshwari Priya. The you guide them, Nimishana, it says something about 12 years. So what is that translation of 12 years? Everywhere I read that, one moment seems like 12 years. So where is that 12 years? Like, what word is that 12
years? Oh, you know, in actually the 12 years, it is actually said that, you know, one yuga sometimes translates into 12 years. It feels like 12 years, like that.
Yeah.
So one yuga is considered to be as 12 years. But, you know, of course, we know that, you know, one yuga is also can be categorized as, you know, Satya Yuga, Tritya Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Kali Yuga, all of that. But then one yuga can also be translated as 12 years. Srila Prabhupada has said that in many places. So that's why that yuga is translated as 12 years.
Okay, Mataji. Thank you. Okay, Mataji, you can sing. I'm ready with my recorder.
So if there's any more questions, is there any more questions? Okay, so since there's no questions, I will honor the request of singing. I'll sing two verses. Is that okay, Mataji?
No.
No? I'll sing two. So two or three verses? Because otherwise everyone will feel that, oh, what is going on?
Everyone wants you to sing. I've been really wanting you to sing since Vraja told me about this Gopi Geet when he did the Vraj Mandal Parikrama. She's always singing this Gopi Geet, and she would always tell me Kalasuta Mataji would sing. Anyways, so I was really hoping.
Well, I can't sing the whole thing.
Okay, okay.
I can't sing the whole thing. It's 19 verses, but I'll sing 2-3 verses. I'll sing some of my favorite ones.
Okay, ma'am.
Pranakadehinam Patakarshanam Trinacharanugam Shriniketanam Shuna Trindirichayam Madhuraya Gira Vengavakyaya Budhamanogyaya Pushkare Kshana
Krishna. Hare Krishna Mataji, Gopinath ki jai ho, more.
Thank you. Very wonderful, very, very beautiful. Hare
Thank
Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Very, very, very wonderful.
Thank you, Mataji. Please pray for us.
Thank you.
Hari Siddha Mayapur. Hari Bol.
Yes, Mataji.
Hare Hare.
Pray for us.
I actually really have been praying for all of you, whoever I know personally, whoever I also don't know personally, but I know you by your name. I have been praying for each and every one of you whenever I'm in front of the deities, whenever I take bath in the Ganges, every time I take a dip, I, you know, take all of your names and do it on your behalf. When I show a lamp to Lord Nrsimhadeva, I'm praying for all of you. So whatever little my prayers are worth, if at all any, they're always there for you. So please, all of you also bless me so that I can be of some service to Guru and Krishna and to all of you.
Thank you. Krishna, Mata.
Thank you very much.
Dandavat pranam. Mataji, please pray for friends also. It should go well and more people should join. You know, yeah. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mataji. It's a simply wonderful, Mataji. And all the class and your song. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Hare
Krishna, Mataji. Thank you very much.
Dandavat pranam. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Thank you.
Is there any question or comment for Mataji? Otherwise we can end the call.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, we can pay our obeisances to Mataji and all the devotees. And then we can end the call. Vansa Kalpatirubhyascha, Kripa Sindhuyevacha, Patita Nama Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namo, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai.
Yeah.
Thank you. All the